Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. In today's episode, we give you 10 tips to start your health and fitness journey. So if you are a beginner, these 10 tips will give you a good starting point, helping you achieve the goals that you want. Also, if you enjoyed this episode or previous episodes, could you please share it with someone that may get value from it? Thanks again, Brain Body Movement.
Okay, let's say you're someone that is getting health curious. So you've never set foot in a gym before. Your thought process with nutrition has been like, what do I want to eat? What tastes good? Never really consciously gone, oh, I'm just going to go for a walk and move my body. You haven't really thought about your health and fitness before. Where do you start, big man? Where do you start?
Well, you obviously start with this podcast.
Yeah, this is the one. This is the podcast. So we'll just give some, I don't know, tips, maybe guidelines as to where to start if you're becoming health curious and wanting to prioritize your health more and just look after your general well-being. Not necessarily looking to pack on heaps of muscle or strip a whole heap of fat, but you're just looking to be healthy and look after the vessel of which you live life in.
Yeah. Like if you got a health scare or someone said to you, like, what are you doing with your life? Like, this is probably the one. You're like, oh, okay, maybe I should probably start to think of myself and for my future kin later down the track.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like your quality of life later down the track as well. Like being able to play with the grandkids, being able to run around with them, being able to travel and still do things till later on in life. I think people are getting more conscious of that now, more aware of that and the impact that has. I think COVID was a big wake up for a lot of people in that regard of like, my health is actually rather important. So here we are giving those people that are now health curious and becoming health conscious some tips and guidelines. So let's get the ball rolling. Tip number one, and that is set goals and expectations. Now, we have done a whole podcast on goal setting. Go back and listen to that for how to set goals, but they need to be SMART. So specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. That's the acronym of SMART. And then set your expectations of like, what are you actually wanting to achieve out of this? Is it just general health and well-being? Is it you're wanting to lose a little bit of fat? Is it you wanting to be more mobile? Like set the goals and expectations. And then just remember, it's probably going to take longer than you think because life inevitably happens. Something pops up and it's not going to be, you're not going to be reversing 10 years of bad habits in 10 weeks.
I think that, yeah, setting the realistic expectations as well, because some people could just go, all right, I have done nothing at all with my life and now I'm just going to run a marathon, or I'm going to go to the gym every single day for an hour and a half and exercise every single muscle while eating 100% dialed in with my food, sleep 10 and a half hours and meditate for like three. And it's like, that's not achievable, obviously. So I think just getting that 1% better each day as well with your goals. And it could be like fire out goals. Like, we've done a whole episode on goals, so obviously go back and listen to that. But just set some fire out goals and then some closer goals, like a year goal, and then go like your 6 month and then 1 month and then your week goal, and then figure out what you want to do each day as well as your actionable items. And then you just start ticking them off, and then you can start improving those daily actions each day. And that's how you make progress towards those longer goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Step by step, small little chunks to get to your, what did you call it? A far out goal.
Yeah. Far out goal. Just like, so it's so far away. Like, I'll get there. Like,
I thought you were meaning like far out. That's a long way away.
Pretty well. But far
you're
out
long,
or far
you're
out.
Your long term goal, like the big picture one that you're striving for, and then little subsections that you can tick off along the way that help keep you motivated and on track, and
the Everest goal.
As though you are making progress. Now, speaking of progress, that leads nicely into tip number two, and that is measuring metrics for progress. You need to have some way of measuring or tracking whether you are getting a return on investment from your time spent in gym, from making better food choices, etc. So that could be your body weight. It could be pictures, progress photos. It could be measurements. It could be tracking your lifts in the gym. It could be blood markers. It could be, there's a whole list of things that can measure the progress, but you want to measure the progress specifically towards your goal. So if your goal is fat loss, then probably weight, pictures, measurements are your best three. If your goal is improved general health, then maybe you go and look at blood markers and see how you're feeling and functioning, performing there. If your goal is performance, then track your training and look to make improvements there and progressive overload or improve performance. So having some way to track your progress and measure if you are heading in the right direction, I think is often overlooked. People just go about their goal or trying to get to their goal without actually tracking and seeing if they're heading in the right direction, and they find themselves spinning their wheels, and that's when they've been like, oh, I've tried this for 4 months, and then they inevitably give up. So you want to have a way to track your progress and see whether it's weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, if you are actually heading in the right direction and making progress towards your goals.
Yeah, because you need to start somewhere and have something established so then you can define a gap of where you are to where you want to be. So you've set your goals, you know where you want to be, and now you're measuring where you are, and now you can see the journey that you have towards you and go, okay, so I'm here now. This is what I either want to look at, or I want to weigh, or I want to get a certain outcome, like a strength goal. I'm like, okay, so now there's a gap. So now you know that, okay, I'm here and now I get to there. And this is now a journey that I have to go on. And measuring it along the way obviously can help too, but it's like defining that first part of, okay, I weigh this much and I now want to weigh this much, or I lift this much and I want to weigh this much. So you're setting in your head, you've defined a gap of like, I need to get to this point now. Like I've got a plan ahead. And I've got to figure out, like, okay, how the fuck am I going to get there now? I don't know, 123 kilos, and how the hell am I going to get to 93? So there's obviously some steps in between, but now you've established the gap, and then you can move forward because you've now measured it. Because I think some people are like, all right, I'm just going to start to work out and whatever. And then they get like a month or two down the track, and they're like, I think I'm getting better. Like, I think I feel my pants are getting and my clothes are getting a little bit looser. But you wouldn't know unless you started to either, track your photos, and because you could be gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time, and your weight might even be the same. So you might be like, oh, I weigh myself here and there, but it's not really changing. But you feel like you are changing. But unless you've got relevant metrics to track, you won't exactly know. And you're just making assumptions that I think I'm going on the right track. And then you might go even further and you're like, I have no idea. And then you give up. Whereas it's like, no, I've like come so far. And because it's like every single day, just doing little things, it moves the ball forward, but it's so small, like it's really hard to notice. Whereas like over weeks, over months, and over even a year, you can see tremendous change. Even like 12 weeks, you can see like a huge amount of change in your body, or even your mindset or growth of whatever you're trying to achieve. And that's why we track metrics and progress.
Well, there's the saying you can only manage what you measure, right? Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in that place where I was taking action and wasn't measuring things and was like, oh, I feel like I'm making progress, I think that would be an actual scary place for me to be in. I want to know for certain that what I'm doing is actually moving me in the right direction. I don't want to be uncertain about that. That would actually be quite worrying for me. So that's a big reason why I like to track progress, and that's weight, pitches in the gym, you name it. That's the reason why, is I don't want any uncertainty about what I'm doing isn't working. And then when you know that you're not making progress, then you can manipulate things to have you moving in the right direction. Add something in, take something away, whatever it may be. So yeah, measuring or having some way of tracking your progress, or that you're bridging the gap between where you are currently and your goal, is extremely important.
Definitely.
Okay, so now we'll move on to point number three. And this is just around the education piece. And we talk about education all the time, like very, very regularly on educate yourself on all things regarding nutrition and exercise. Now, I'm going to talk specifically more about the principles of both of those two. So, in regards to nutrition, you want to educate yourself on what is energy balance and what is it applicable for in regards to your body composition, and nutrient versus calorically dense foods. So that way you can make your food choices based on, okay, I want to choose more nutrient dense foods rather than calorically dense foods. Then in regards to exercise, you probably want to educate yourself on what progressive overload is and on correct exercise technique. Now, these are important because the education aspect will help you in regards to nutrition, will help you in making better food choices because you're more educated. So now you know more and you can design your food choices based off more than just how they taste. And then you can create or design a program based around the ease of which you can progress. And then you can execute that program better now that you have a better understanding of correct exercise technique and form. So that education piece is aspect. And once you start throwing yourself in and start learning, you'll realize just how little you really know. And then it'll be a snowball effect, and you'll continue to want to learn more and more and more. Forever learning, right?
Forever learning, exactly. Yeah, before you get to the point where you know nothing, you start to learn and you think you know everything, which is called the Dunning-Kruger effect. So you go to the top of the mountain and then you keep going and you're like, fuck, I know fuck all. And you go down to the valley of despair and then you start to bridge your way up. So yeah, you've got to educate yourself if you want to keep moving forward in your health and fitness journey, because you can, like, knowing the principles of nutrition and exercise, you can then sift through the bullshit that is been put out online. If, like, some guru is trying to sell you something, you're like, well, will this break, you know, thermodynamics or energy balance? And, like, is their program actually, like, progressively overloading me, or are they just trying to make me sweat, kind of thing? And you can go, all right, well, these are the principles. That's not aligned with the principles, so that's actually not going to help me right now. And then you're like, well, I think I can just maybe do my own thing over here, or find a program that kind of suits better to the actual principles that actually have, you know, progressive overload. Or if someone's going to put you on a diet, like, is it a calorie deficit and is it sustainable for me? Or does it have, like, high nutrient density in there? Is it just caloric density? No matter what it is, you know the principles because you've educated yourself, and then you can, yeah, sift through the bullshit. But yeah, you are forever learning. Like, it's for me, it was just like a once I knew something, I just wanted to keep learning, and I'm forever learning still. And it's great when you find something, just something like a nugget that just opens up your perspective for something else as well. And you're like, oh, that's why. And then, like, it doesn't happen as much as it used to, but when you first start, there's just fucking nuggets flying everywhere and you barely dodge them. Like, fucking,
Nuggets flying
yeah,
everywhere.
exactly. And now they, like, once, I don't know, every month or two maybe, it hits me. I'm like, ah, and it just unlocks the next level. And that's just what happens when you, like, go up in levels. It does, like, this, not as much information will really, like, hit you. Like, you can hear it. Yeah, I get that. That's the basics. But then someone might say something and you're like, oh, that's great. Or you read something and, oh, I can definitely use that. And then you implement it and then it works. And you're like, great, let's tell some other people. Because teaching also is a great way of learning.
Yeah, and teaching's a fantastic way of learning. I'd say it's the way that I learn myself the most is I hear something and I go, oh, that's tangible. I'm going to try and tell as many people about that as possible, more so for the fact that it can just stick in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now tip number four is to create some meals and a diet structure that you enjoy, that aligns with your goals, and most importantly, that you can sustain. because if you can't sustain it, then you can't attain it. So this could be creating some meals that have a great macro balance that aligns with your goals. It could be creating eating windows in which you choose to eat in. It could be writing a shopping list and only buying things off the shopping list. These are all dieting strategies and structures that you can put in place and implement that help you create a diet and a way of eating that aligns with the goals that you have set out.
Yeah, because you're probably eating between like 6 to 10 different meals anyway.
Most
And
people.
yeah, most people will different and you just cycle through them. And I don't hear it as much, but people still might say, oh, well, I don't want to eat the same thing every day. Well, you pretty well do. Like when are you going to have like 300 and well, probably over 1,000 different meals every single day, you know, every day for a whole year, 3 different meals. Like that's not feasible. It's usually about 6 to 10, maybe 6 to 15, depending if you get fancy. So, with tip number three, you've educated yourself on nutrition. So, you know, you got to get like a certain amount of protein in each meal. So, then you just start there and you go, okay, so these are the meals that I'm having right now. How can I add either more protein or where is protein lacking? And you just start to create them. You're like, okay, this is my protein sources because I've educated myself with the protein sources, fat sources, and carbohydrate sources. And then I just start going mixing and matching. And then you go, okay, well, I'll grab a protein source from here. I'll grab some carbs from here, a little bit of fat from here, and there's a meal. And you just do that for like 6 to 10 meals. You could just start with six for now or even five. And you go, all right, could I eat this for a long period of time? Yes. Can I meal prep this to make it easier for myself? Sure. Will I meal prep chicken breast? Probably not because it's fucking disgusting when you reheat it. So those unless you crumb up maybe. So those are the things that you learn as you continue on your journey. But it's like you got to start somewhere and starting somewhere of just like writing down what kind of meals that you would really enjoy and will they fit your macros? As in like you've worked out your energy balance of like how much calories you're having in a day roughly. And you're like, all right, well, you know, I'm gonna have some chicken breasts and I'm gonna have some veggies and maybe some potato. And that's a great meal. Maybe some gravy over the top because I like gravy. Sure. And you could go from there. And then it's like, well, I don't really eat breakfast. And that's fine. Like that's your eating window. You can start eating at 10, 11, 12, whatever. And then you can stick with that if you want. You try not to change too much at the start because it'll just feel too overwhelming. Just go with what you're doing right now and then just tweak things as you see fit. So it's like, all right, don't eat in the morning. Fine, don't eat in the morning. You can just eat later on. Just go with what you're going. Just change the meals around a little bit. You've got the meals and then you've got a strategy of like, all right, now I can go to the shops and I've got my list of what I actually need because I've got my meals for the week or even for 2 weeks because 10 meals easily could go over for 2 weeks. You're like, all right. And you just write it out. You're like, all right, this is what I'm doing. And then you don't get sidetracked when you're shopping as well. Of like, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Like the amount of times people are like, oh yeah, I go shopping. I just try and figure out what I'm going to eat. Like as I'm shopping, like see what's on special and stuff. I'm like fair enough. If you want to go for like specials and that, all good. But it's like, when you meal prep, there it's pretty good value when you're buying in bulk anyway. You know, chicken breast and mince and stuff like that. So just being simple at the start, and then you can go fancy later on once you're like, well, these meals are boring, and then you pick another 6 to 10 meals. All right, you got to have a strategy, and another strategy is make sure you're not hungry when you go shopping because you'll want to have all the sweets.
Yeah, it's a that's been proven in the research, right? Is that if you get hungry or shopping, you tend to buy more food, and you'll often get home and you'll be like, "Why on earth did I buy that?" Oh, that's right, I was hungry. And then you've got what, a box of something that you don't particularly want to eat, doesn't align with your goals.
Yeah, and then you got to eat it all that week before the next shopping
Yeah,
day.
I find that Monday to Friday, I am eating probably the same six, maybe seven meals throughout that entire Monday to Friday span. Then on the weekends, that's where I get a little bit fluffy and creative, I suppose. That's when I'll introduce some things, maybe eat some meals out, try something new. But honestly, I've probably been eating the same six to seven meals Monday to Friday for years. Occasionally, I'll spot a new one on a Reels or a TikTok, or I'll see someone else that's created a meal and I'll be like, you know what? I could go that, and then I'll introduce that one, and that goes into the rotation, and inevitably something else falls out. Every time you add something in, something else falls out. So add something in, something else falls out. So I think that's one of the best bits of advice we can give is create those 6 to 10 meals that you can like create two or three for breakfast, two or three for lunch, two or three for dinner. Bang, done. You've got multiple options for each. And they all align with your goals because you've just taken a little bit of time to sit down and work them out.
Yeah, especially if you've got like a family as well, just make it in bulk, like big roasts or slow cooked stuff as well. So it's like you're not fucking trying to cook dinner every single night, which is fine if you want to do that as well, but it's like save yourself some time.
Now, that's the nutrition side of things in creating meals and a diet structure that works and aligns with you and your goals. Now, onto the training aspect, and that is tip number five. So, create or buy a training program. Now, the caveat with this is it needs to be realistic. So, no 6 day a week bullshit. Just start with a realistic amount of days you can train a week. It's got to be enjoyable. Humans don't like doing things that they don't like doing, and then they have to do them, and then they won't do them for very long. So make sure it's enjoyable. It's also, I feel it needs to be adaptable. So if there's squats in there and all the squat racks are taken, you need to be able to adapt on the fly and implement or exchange it with something else. It needs to be easy to progress and track, which was point number two that we were talking about. So you need to be able to tangibly see whether you are making progress. And I think they're the main four. Is there anything else you can think of when creating or designing a training program? Realistic, enjoyable, adaptable, and easy to progress?
Yeah, I think they're the base ones, really.
Yeah, I think that's what you really need to look at. But the first two are the big two for me. Like, it needs to be a realistic amount of volume and days of training that you can sustain. Ask yourself the question, can I sustain training this many days for the rest of my life? That will answer whether it's a realistic amount of training for you. And just remember, it doesn't have to be that number forever. So be like, okay, right now, the position I'm in my life, I can train 2 days a week. And you sustain that 2 days a week for 3 months. And then all of a sudden, there becomes this little window or pocket in your life where something's freed up and you can fit in an extra session. You can then increase to three. It doesn't have to be two for the rest of your life. You can then increase to three. And what you may find over time is that you get more enjoyment and satisfaction in a train, so then you gradually increase. And that enjoyability piece, I cannot stress that enough. Like it need you need to actually enjoy majority of the exercises you're doing, or just not completely and utterly hate them. I think that's the real key, because like I said, humans do not like doing things that they don't like doing. So if they feel forced to do something that they don't like doing, they won't do it for very long. And similar to a diet plan or diet structure, it needs to be sustainable, because if it's not sustainable, then it's not attainable.
Yeah, it's we've done a whole episode on how to build a program as well, so you can go back and listen to that, or you can just buy a training program, nice and easy. So then it'll just kickstart your journey, nice and easy anyway, like shortcut it. Or you can, just go to the gym and follow a class if you really want to. Up to you. It just depends on, again, your goals from when you first started out. It's like, do you just want to, exercise, and or do you actually want to train and build muscle? Like, these are the things that you have to first establish, and then you can go, okay, well, when it comes to training now, like, am I going to buy a program, or am I just going to go to the gym and figure it out myself, or am I going to create my own program? Like, what are the things that I actually want? And obviously, if you're just starting out, you don't actually know what's enjoyable. So I guess you could just got to try things,
Got to
and you
fuck
might,
around to find
yeah,
out.
exactly. And usually it just comes by, sometimes like health and fitness just doesn't, it just pops out of nowhere. Like someone might just ask you to come to a class with you or something, or come like spot you on a bench press or something, like at home or whatever it is. And you just find yourself in there, and then you're like, wow, this is actually quite fun. It's not, some people like, it just happens. Like, it's not like people are like, yeah, anyways. So finding it, like having it very enjoyable as well is you won't know until you try. So,
Absolutely. Like I said, you got to fuck around to find out, and that's with everything. Like if you're curious, then give it a whirl. Nah, didn't like it. Not doing it again. Okay, I tried walking lunges. Walking lunges are shit. Never doing them again. Okay, I tried burpees. They feel hideous, and the boys said they don't really provide me with much benefit. I'm best off just doing a push up and a squat. I'll just do a push up and a squat because I actually don't mind those.
Yeah, and jump around. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, literally. Okay, tip number six is work on sleep hygiene. So that would be set a bedtime and have a regular sleep and wake cycle. Create a nighttime routine to help you wind down for bed and calm the brain, prepare for sleep. And your room setting is important as well. You want to be sleeping in a cold, dark room. So these will all contribute to you getting to sleep faster, staying asleep, and having better quality sleep. So I cannot stress the importance of sleep enough. I think it's one of the most underlooked and neglected aspects of health and being a human in general. Like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Yeah, sure you will, but you'll be dead a lot sooner, brother. Like, work on your sleep hygiene and treat your sleep with the same level of intensity and discipline as you do your training and nutrition. Because it directly impacts body composition, it directly impacts mood, performance. Like, it impacts so many aspects of not just your health, but your life. So make it a priority and really work on your sleep hygiene.
It is a pillar that can be pulled for many people to make them feel better. And you really don't know how good you feel until you have a really good couple of nights of sleep. Like, I think a lot of people are like staying up late because they're watching their favorite TV show or favorite movie or out with friends, drinking, whatever. And then they get home and then they're just like, either can't get to sleep because they're too wired, or they do get to sleep and it's broken, or they just have shortened sleep time in bed because they have to get up for work the next day. And then bam, straight on the caffeine and caffeine throughout the day. And they're wondering why they're tired throughout the day. And then they're wondering why they can't sleep because they're absolutely caffeinated later on in the day. And it's just like biting the bullet of like either lowering your caffeine or actually going to bed on time and setting the time. Like, teach your body to get up at the same time and teach your body to go to bed roughly around the same time as well. Now, for people like that live in states or countries that have daylight savings, it's a bitch sometimes when it is daylight savings, but your body adjusts, and you know how good you feel when you get that extra hour of sleep. Obviously, you're in Queensland, so you don't really know that feeling all too well, but for people in SA, it is one of the best feelings of waking up and, oh, I have an extra hour. It's like, I can't believe it's that time already. So imagine having that all the time when you actually prioritize your sleep and go into bed early, and like that Netflix show is going to be there tomorrow. Like, you're going to be more productive at work, be a better human, feel better, have better conversations, think clearer, get more shit done throughout the day, and just be in a better mood state as well, and not react to things so much when you have really good sleep. Like, everyone knows when they on the weekend, if they get on it and stuff, how shit their sleep is, and then it affects the next day. And for me, at least 2 or 3 days later now, because I'm getting old, and you want to eat all the shit, and your mood's down, and you have like depressive symptoms, and you're just like, this is fucked. Like, why did I fuck myself up so much? And yes, a lot of that is due to the alcohol, but a lot of it is also due to the lack of sleep that you got that night. And then it obviously affects previous, like next nights, because then you've slept into like 1 o'clock, and then you're not tired when your normal bedtime is. It just fucks everything up, and your body's like, "What the hell are you doing?" So sleep is very important. Again, we've done a whole episode on sleep. We might have to revisit it again in the upcoming episodes, I think, because it was early days. I think it was like 7 or 8 episodes, which is like over 100 episodes ago now. So yeah, we might have to revisit it and revamp it. But it's just the basics that we've just spoke about here. It's like, get to bed roughly around the same time, wake up roughly around the same time, have some sort of sleep routine, keep it cool, don't eat too close to bed, don't have alcohol close to bed. You know, these little things will just go such a long way for you to feel better throughout the day. And it's just sometimes it's just breaking the cycle of like, well, I'm not tired yet. It's like, yeah, we'll just incrementally bring it back that half an hour, little bit by little bit, and then you can really see the power of what sleep can do. And you can just get by with caffeine and stuff, but it's like, imagine not having to rely on a substance all the time. And I'm saying this because I'm like going lowering my caffeine at the moment, but I think it's true because I've just been masking symptoms like just to feel normal. And I want to feel normal without that and then get that extra added boost if I really needed it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's the most neglected aspect of health. And I'm fully on board with everything you said there. Now, the reason I feel as though you're saying go to bed earlier is because people tend to get up just at the time that they need to get up in order to get themselves ready and get to work. So if you're going to bed earlier, then that's how you get more time. Now, if you have the ability to go to bed at the same time and sleep in longer, you can do that as well. I just wanted to clarify, it's not us about saying you need to get up early. It's about getting sufficient sleep in, and whatever time frame you do that in is totally up to you and your lifestyle. But most people typically start work at 9 or at 8, or if they're tradies at 7. So if you're getting up at those times, then you need to be up to get to work at a certain time. Therefore, to get the more time in, you can't push that back any further. You need to go to bed earlier to give yourself more time in bed. Now, there was something you mentioned there, and it was when you're tired, things that you feel. For me, the biggest one, my little ghrelin goes through the roof. And I am so hungry that day, and I cannot think clearly. So that's what I feel most from, in terms of negative side effects from lack of sleep. But there's a whole plethora of things that you can feel from not getting sufficient sleep. So I've said it before, I'll say it again, don't sleep on sleep. Okay, so that's enough on the big three, which is your training, nutrition, and sleep. So let's go to tip number 7, and that is focus on habits. So your habits essentially make up who you are. You are the sum of your habits, whether they are good or bad. So focus on addressing them, adding some in, removing some away, or replacing some rather than just removing them straight away. And when I talk about habits, I'm talking about things like some form of daily movement, whether it's a morning walk or when the kettle's boiling in the morning, you do some stretches or squats, or could be hydration and making sure with each meal I have a glass of water. Like just little things that don't seem like they would have a big impact. But when you add all of these little things together, they actually move the needle in the right direction quite a bit for you. So focus on the things that you can do on a daily basis, the processes that get you towards your outcome.
Yep. And go back to your goals and your daily actions that you'll be doing each day and see where you can implement them, where you'll one, remember to actually do them. And two, it'll be so easy that you're hardly going to miss them. So even like if one of your goals is to go for a walk every day, straight after dinner or straight after some sort of meal, you just go for a walk. And it could even just be like 5 or 10 minutes, but you're still going for a walk because that's an action that you've said that will actually move you closer towards your health goals. So this is just habit stacking, basically. So find something that you're already doing and then just habit stack straight on top of it. So you obviously brush your teeth every single day. So again, you could be either meditating then. You could be doing squats or whatever it is. It's just find something that you're already doing, as long as it's a healthy habit, and then add another healthy habit on top of it. And you said, don't just take away habits, replace them. So I think that's a good idea as well, because there's obviously room in that area of like, oh, I feel like I'm not doing anything right now. So a bad habit could be maybe you're eating like shit straight after dinner or something, or even before dinner. So you could replace that with something healthy before dinner. Like you come home and you just have chocolate straight away because you're stressed from work or something. And it's like, well, maybe have an apple before dinner, or maybe a protein shake, or just something healthier. So then you're not like having those bad habits that could potentially end up worsening your health, because you're obviously trying to make a change right now. So there's going to be a lot of little things that just aren't serving you towards the health goals that you want. They're obviously serving you now because, you know, you're doing them, but you've now set up your goals and you're like, is this habit that I'm doing serving me? And that's just like writing. You could just write a list of all the habits that you do and just make a column of like, is this serving me or is this not serving me? So write it down and go, okay, so what can I replace with this? Because it's really hard to just like stop a habit or just stop doing something. Like that's why we replace, like even just foods. Like I have a liter of full Coke. It's like, well, we can replace that with Coke Zero, caffeine free, because they taste better than just these little swaps that doesn't make you feel like you're giving up something. Because this habit that you said bad habit that you're doing right now is obviously serving you in some sort of way, and then if you take it away, it's like you're taking something from you that like, and you're missing out with it. Like you're missing out on something, whereas like if you replace it, you're like, oh no, I'm actually doing this now, and it's now serving me, and it's not really like disrupting me that much. Just like the Coke example that I just gave. So it's good to replace them. There might be some habits that you just stop and can't replace it altogether, but I think replacing it and then weeding that out. So say maybe you smoke, maybe just like chewing some gum for a bit, and then you can weed that out as well. So there are maybe instances where it's so big that you maybe just have to cut it out completely. But I think easing into it of going, okay, what can I replace right now? But and then inevitably I just want to stop it altogether.
Yeah, to give some actual examples, let's say you said that you were having chocolate when you come home before dinner. That was an example you gave. Just replace that chocolate bar with a protein bar. It's still the same habit. You still come home and you have something sweet when you come back. Most protein bars do often taste a bit like chocolate, just a bit drier, a bit blander. But it's replacing a habit with something that is going to serve you a lot better. The other one could be, let's say you have a glass of wine or two or three or however many it may be with dinner, after dinner, each and every night. Well, you can first start by replacing it with non-alcoholic, and then you can move from non-alcoholic to maybe like a sparkling water or a sugar-free soft drink. And then you could replace that with, and just slowly move yourself away from things that aren't serving you because they're affecting your sleep or they're affecting your nutrition or training or whatever it may be. Now, you mentioned there that habits are all serving you in some way, shape, or form, whether good or bad. Now, that is true. If you go to try and remove all the ones that you feel aren't serving you in a good way at once, it'll probably be quite overwhelming. You'll be like, wow, if I do all this. So just tackle one at a time. And I have two trains of thoughts here. You can either go the one that's going to make the biggest impact first, and you can take that one on first. Now you can do that whilst you're motivated and you've got a bit of drive about you. And that way you'll see some direct impact from tackling the biggest one first. Alternatively, if you're like, I just want to achieve something and build some confidence and self-discipline in myself, and you're that kind of person, then take on the littlest one first, because you'll be more likely to achieve that, sustain that, and that will build confidence in yourself to then go, okay, now I can tackle something a little bit bigger. And you just build momentum that way. So I do have two trains of thoughts here. You've just got to know which sort of person you are and whether, whilst you're motivated, tackling the biggest one first, the one that'll promote the biggest change, is the best option for you, or whether going slow and just picking the low-hanging fruit and working your way through is best for you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think with the bigger habits that you might not see massive results with, I think getting a win early is obviously a good sign and good motivation. So if your motivation is low, just going for those quick, easy wins and you're like, yep, done that for the day, kind of like just going for a walk or whatever, and then tackling your bigger ones of like replacing the alcohol because it's so ingrained in you to have a vino after or during dinner. And they basically taste the same anyway. You want the feeling of drinking as well. So, yeah.
That's often the case. Like most people that, and this is specifically in regards to alcohol, most people that I work with that are trying to remove alcohol from their life, they're like, oh, what do I do with my hands? What do I drink with dinner? What do I have at night? I'm like, it's literally just the habit. Like you start making dinner and you pour yourself a glass of wine, or you get home from work and you crack a beer. Like it's literally just the habit. So just replace it with non-alcoholic to start with. Like that's the easiest one I see. Yes, there's still calories in it. Yes, it's still not better than just water or whatever it may be, but it's moving you in the right direction. And then you're not getting the alcohol, which would then be affecting your sleep. So you're getting better sleep. And then because you're getting better sleep, you can make better quality decisions. Like it's a ripple effect. So yeah, know which individual you are. And if you're highly motivated, tackle the big one. If you're really lacking motivation, but you really want to start, then go the low hanging fruit. Okay, that moves us on to tip number eight, and that is ask for support from friends or in online communities. Now, I would lean towards friends because you have a deeper connection with friends than just strangers in an online community. However, strangers in an online community are going through the exact same thing as you. So, like-minded individuals, whereas a friend may not be. So just be careful with who you choose to ask for support from. And I think the key point about this tip is ask. Don't just like seek or look for support or expect support. Ask for support and then choose the person that you ask support from wisely, someone that you feel you can confide in, or like I said, is in an online community that's going through a similar thing. You may actually feel more comfortable, believe it or not, in that online community of someone that's going through the same thing. You may actually feel more comfortable opening up to things about them because you've never met them before and you don't have a relationship with them outside of making a change to your health and fitness. So that actually could be a better route. Personally, I'd go the friends route, but again, this is you got to know who you are, what kind of person you are, and what would feel most comfortable for you. But yeah, the key is asking for support. Don't expect it. Don't just seek it. Ask.
And yeah, it because some people just don't know either. Like, say you're living with someone and they're just eating shit in front of you, and you're like, "Why are you always eating in front of me?" and stuff. It's like, well, this is my food. Like, they feel like they're maybe getting attacked, but you didn't actually ask them specifically. Look, when I am going through this diet phase, can you please not eat that shit in front of me? So it helps me, and that's supporting me. And it's just having a quick conversation about it. It doesn't have to be such a big thing because I can see arguments happen over things like this. So definitely asking for friends or family around you. And then the online communities is a good one because people are going through the same shit as you. And you could all pump yourself up and ask for different ways of doing things because there's a lot more of them than there are of your friends and family. And they might just come from a different. Because it's barely, I wouldn't say, like, there's going to be more avatars of you in that online community than there are of your friends. Like, your friends might not always, like, be the same shape as you or in the same kind of situation as you. And there's most likely going to be in that community. And they're always willing to most people are willing to help them, other people that are struggling because they've gone through it themselves. And obviously that, coaches and that personal trainers obviously help others do that as well. So you can obviously seek from them. But it's like, yeah, having someone around you and knowing like, all right, this is what I'm dealing with today, like, or this is how I got through it. Like, anyone else got any other suggestions where I can go from here? And it's just like that sense of community. And that's even in the gym too. Like, you could be in the gym and just like asking people for a spot. And then like they're supporting you there. Like, getting you in, or just a gym partner, just like supporting you along your journey of like, let's go. You said we'll go to the gym. Like, that's another like accountability buddy, like someone there to help you get your health and fitness journey. Because you're not always going to want to do it. Like, if you are waking up early and you've got a morning session and you make text, yeah, like, let's go, come on. It's like, fucking take that pre-workout so you feel the tingles or something.
I'm not gonna let you down, brother. I'm gonna be
Yeah,
there.
exactly.
Strength in numbers, though. Strength in numbers, big time. Like you feel stronger in a collective, as a group, as a community. Now, this is completely off topic, but on my run this morning, I'm making a conscious effort because I'm needing to run slower in order to run further. I'm making a conscious effort to be able to say good morning, hello, good afternoon, whatever it may be, to every single person that I run past. Now, I've noticed that the people that are running that I run past always will smile, give me a hello, give me a good morning back. So that is an example of the running community and people that like running being supportive and liking that people are out doing the same things as them. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but the rise of run clubs is outrageous. There's run clubs popping up everywhere, all around me on the coast here. And the other one, I had this thought as too, after I ran past a person, they were like, oh, good morning, after I said good morning to them this morning, was the gym community. Like, I don't know where this thought comes from that it's not a supportive community. Like, majority of the people in the gym are looking to work on themselves, they're growth minded, they're very supportive, encouraging people. So if you go up and ask for a bit of advice or, hey, why do you do this? Majority of people in the gym will be very forthcoming and want to have a conversation and create a conversation. I can't think of many more places that are as supportive as a gym or a run club community. So that's a great place to start, is there. And then you've obviously got online and your friends as well.
Just a massive community, all in person and
Yeah.
online, for sure.
Yeah. There's plenty of avenues you can go down, essentially, is what I'm saying. Like, you could go in the gym, you could go a run club, you could, if let's say you're just wanting to be active, you could go to a tennis club and join a tennis community, or pickleball, or whatever the rage is at the moment. Like, there's so many different avenues you can go down, and then just have to ask the question, hey, I'd like you to support me in coming to do this more because I want to be more active. Or, hey, I'd like you, do you mind if we train together? Or you could just start with a simple question of, hey, I'm doing a chest press over here. Do you mind giving me a spot? Starts a conversation, and then you two become training partners, and then they're holding you accountable. And then you go, hey, look, I need some support in turning up because I'm not doing it as often as I like. Can you just message me and on days that we don't train and just check in that I've been there? Like, it starts quite simple, but there's plenty of avenues for you to go down in order to get that support.
Yep. And you know it's not ill-willed, but when you see regulars in and then you stop coming and then a week later they're like, oh, where have you been? Like they're actually concerned. Like is everything okay? And then you're like, no, I just fallen off. Like, and you have that feeling, you're like, fuck, I've got to get back into this, and then you stick with it. And that's just coming from like a genuine, are you okay kind of thing. Not like, why the fuck haven't you been at the gym? And if people do say that, it's more like joking around.
Yeah, there's a common joke in my gym, and that is, oh, so you do remember where it was when people haven't been in for a while. Oh, you found the place then, or oh, you didn't lose the address. Like, there's a common bit of banter around, and
That's good.
that's not in an aggressive way. That's like a we noticed you weren't here. Like, where have you been? And then that starts that conversation. So, yeah, it can be done in a lot harder way as well.
Of course.
Okay, that takes us on to tip number nine, and we talk about this ad nauseum. Set your environment up for success. This is little things like keep a clean space, hide the calorie dense food, have the nutrient dense food out, set your gym bag up the night before, make sure you, I don't know, carry a water bottle around at all times. Like, your environment dictates so much of your success, so set your environment up for success.
You'd be surprised what the length people will go just to not spend so much time doing shit. Like,
Yeah.
it's like,
Yep.
oh, fuck, I forgot my gym clothes. I gotta go home and get changed. No, I'm not going to the gym now. Even though the gym's like 5 minutes away. Like, some of the barriers just to get to think for people, it's really like, it's hard for them. So you gotta just give yourself, especially at the start, you got to give yourself the easiest path possible. Like make it so like slip and slide with oil and everything. It's just got to be like a smooth sailing with like nothing in the way, like full speed ahead, because because there's going to be a lot of self-talk as well, especially when you first start, of like, oh fuck, like I don't know if I'm doing this right, or like, oh, maybe I can just go tomorrow because, you know, today's just not my day, or, you know, it's, oh, it's raining outside. I don't really want to drive to the gym just in case, you know, I get into an accident, or whatever excuse you come up with. You got to get past that and get the ball rolling, so then it doesn't, so these little setbacks that may, you may think they are, I just like, whatever. I just go to the gym. Like, yeah, I forgot. Now I'm just gonna like be a bit 15 minutes late, whatever. I'm just gonna go home, get changed, and then go. And that just takes time. So thinking of these things to set your environment up, even having dumbbells at home could be a massive savior of like, don't feel like going to the gym today. All right, I'm just gonna work out at home, do a bit of body weight stuff, maybe have some dumbbells or bands or whatever it is. Just having like even a backup plan of knowing like, yes, I don't feel comfortable going to the gym today, but I have stuff at home. I'll just get it done, or I'll just go for a walk, or I'll just have like a nice meal because I did eat shit the last few days. Just setting up your environment of like, okay, well, if you have no healthy food in the fridge, you're not going to eat it because there's no fucking healthy food there. So make sure there's healthy food in your fridge. Make sure it's like not stocked up, but just like it's there, or it's visible. And then if you do have some unhealthy food, make sure it's just hidden. Like these little cues that you have that you don't realize that you have. Like that's why marketing is so powerful, because you see an ad for something and then just in the back of your mind, it's just there, and it's just lingering. And that's why it's so powerful, and it's been shown like in research. So set your fridge up and your pantry up for success. Set your room up, have it nice and tidy, and have your gym clothes there or in the car. Take the excuses out and set up your environment, so then there is no excuse for you not to make your health and fitness journey real.
Yeah, essentially you want as little resistance as possible, right? You want the changes that you want to make in your life to be as seamless and as resistance free as possible. So if you know that when you go home from work before going to the gym, you really, really struggled to get back to the gym and it's a mental battle, then pack your gym bag, take it with you. If you know that if you've got options between a nutrient dense food and a calorically dense food in your pantry or fridge, when you open it, 9 times out of 10, you have the mental battle of go, and you often go the calorically dense, tastier food over the nutrient dense, less tasty food. Then stop buying that food, and that you're setting your environment up for success in that way. If you know you struggle to drink water, carry a water bottle around, keep it in eyesight. If you struggle to eat enough fruit, have a fruit bowl, stick it on the table. That way, it's in your eyesight more. All these little things play such a factor in you actually achieving your goals. Like constant reminders, leave post-it notes for yourself around the place. Like there's so many little things you can do. Like if we're talking sleep, then okay, I've got a sleep routine before I go to work, and I'm going to set up everything that's part of my routine. I'm going to leave it out. So that way, when I come home from work in the gym, because I've been working late that day, I come home from the gym, I have a shower, and I just tick off the things that are part of my nighttime routine, and then I pack them away, and then I'm off to bed. Like there's so many aspects of so many little habits that you may want to introduce or create that you can just set your environment up in a better way to be able to sustain them. Because sustainability is key with everything. I've mentioned that several times throughout this podcast. It's not sustainable, it's not attainable. So you need to be able to sustain the things that you're doing, and setting your environment up will make it easier to sustain. You want as little resistance as possible.
Yeah, and that also goes back to point number eight with asking for support with your friends and family. Of like, if you're gonna fucking eat shit, eat it away from here or somewhere. Like, not have the shit like piled up everywhere, and don't offer me like chips or chocolate or ice cream when I'm, you know, on a said diet or whatever. Like, that's not going to my health goals right now.
Absolutely, that's pivotal. You see someone eating something and you're like, oh, I want that. I want that. Yeah,
Getting
that's a big
hungry.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that moves us on to final point, tip number 10, and that is get a health assessment. Now, the reason I'm using health assessment is because you get it done from a doctor, you could get it done from a movement specialist, you can get it done from a PT, a coach. Just get some sort of assessment done that is in a baseline way that you can then go about going through the previous 9 tips. So they will also be able to give you tangible advice on actions and measures to take moving forward. But get that initial health assessment done and choose whichever practitioner or professional you want to go to. Like I said, doctor, movement specialist, like a physio, chiro, osteo, whatever it may be, PT, coach. Just get the health assessment done because there's so many avenues that you can go down from there. If you go to a doctor and get your bloods done and you realize you're low in, I don't know, let's just say an easy one,
Iron,
vitamin, yeah, vitamin C, iron, then you know you can, okay, that's something I can easily do in regards to nutrition, is I can eat more iron, I can eat more vitamin C. Or let's say you go to a movement specialist and the reason you've got back pain is because your hip flexors are completely jammed up. Okay, now I know what I need to do in regards to my training program. I can work on releasing my hip flexors, strengthening my hamstrings, strengthening my core, and hopefully that will help alleviate my back pain. There's the health assessment is probably one of the first places you can start because then you may have goals created off that, and then you can work your way through the rest of the tips.
Yeah, because most likely you would have seen a doctor in the past 5 years. But yeah, seeing that health check, whether it's a doctor or a PT or whatever, like when I'd have new people come into the gym, they would get full assessment from like a fitness check, health check. And it's just like even answering a few questions of like, do you smoke? Do you have this? Like, like if you've got like some stuff wrong with you or whatever. Like some people may come from the PT side and go, well, look, you might need to get your bloods checked, or vice versa. The doctor might be like, look, you need to maybe go see a PT or lose some weight. And it either way, or physio, like you hurt your wrists or something, or you hurt your ankles, and they're just like, look, man, you probably gotta lose some weight or something. Like, or yeah, something's going on. And it's just like a big cycle. So doesn't matter what you pick, but most likely something has brought to your attention that you need to start a health journey. So it's just, again, having your metrics and figuring out like where you're starting. And a doctor is a good one for your bloods, because you just don't know. Sometimes you don't know like what your actual bloods are and if you're actually healthy. But most people would know if they feel healthy enough, but sometimes there might be an underlying problem. So I personally like to get checks, like if you're young, maybe like once a year or something. But yeah, when you get older, that's when it's like regular checks are quite important, especially when diseases can get a little bit out of hand because you're getting older and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the important thing is you just see someone and get that initial health assessment.
Yeah, I'm trying not to self-diagnose and go on Google and think that you got
Dr.
everything
Google,
wrong. Yeah.
fuck.
I think you got everything and anything wrong with you. It's just like, no, go see an actual healthcare professional.
Okay, so that's the 10 points covered.
Beautiful.
Bob's your dad.
Bob is me dad.
All right, to give a quick recap of the 10 points, set goals and expectations. Tip 2, measure metrics for progress. 3, educate yourself on nutrition and exercise principles. Number 4, create meals and a diet structure that you can enjoy in line with your goals and you can sustain. Tip number 5, create or buy a training program. Tip number 6, work on sleep hygiene. Tip number 7, focus on habits. Tip number 8, ask for support from friends or an online community. Tip number 9, set your environment up for success. And tip number 10, get an initial health assessment. But that's a wrap for today's episode. We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. Now, if you got any value from this episode, we would love for you to share it to your Instagram story. Don't forget to tag us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock_Dalgleish so we can say thanks. It would also mean the world to us if you shared it with family and friends and left us a five-star review. It helps us to expand, get into more people's ears, and ultimately help others. But before we go, we can leave you with a few things. Make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Cheers. I think the biggest one out of the SMART goal is the R, just realistic, isn't it? R is.
I thought it was relevant.
Is it relevant? Okay. I thought it was. Where did I hear realistic then?
So I think that's achievable, right? Achievable is the realistic aspect.
Achievable,
That's
yeah.
actually, yeah. Cut that.
Yeah, I'll cut that.